fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, February 2nd, 2011, and you're lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist Dr. Dick. That's me. You know, porn and sex work are two hot-button issues for most people. Everyone seems to have an opinion, but very few of those opinions come from more than gut reactions. Not many of us have any first-hand experience to guide us in making up our minds and sorting out our feelings. To remedy this, at least for you, my audience, I've been bringing you periodic interviews with porn stars and sex workers as part of this, the Sex Education podcast series, because I think it's important to hear from actual people in the business before we decide where we stand on these matters. Today, I add to the list of porn luminaries that already include Robert Black, Chris Yosefe, Tony Buff, Luke Wilder, Madison Young, and Bruno Bond, a relative newcomer to the industry. I have the pleasure of welcoming the charming and remarkably philosophical Lance Navarro. If you are a connoisseur of cutting-edge fetish smut, then I'm going to guess that you may already know our guest and his body of work. And if you don't, you have a treat in store for you, because Lance now adds his unique voice to the ever-growing chorus of prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles that is this podcast series. Be sure to visit Lance on his kick-ass site, which is aptly named lancenavarro.com. And from there, you'll find his Facebook page and his Twitter feed, too. Today's podcast is brought to you by our friends at AdultSexToys.com. Of course, our sponsor carries a hot load of quality name brands like Fleshlight, Lilo, Tantus, and Fun Factory. But here's the amazing thing about AdultSexToys.com. They make you a promise. They will not be undersold. That's right. They guarantee the lowest price on the net. And who has money to burn at trying economic times like these? Isn't this precisely the kind of competitive edge you look for in an online retailer? I know I do. But that's not all. At AdultSexToys.com, you don't pay sales tax. That's right, sex fans. They pay the freaking taxes for you. Still not convinced? AdultSexToys.com is the place to shop. How about if I tell you they are currently offering a free shipping promotion and free gifts just for the asking? I'm telling you people, you can't beat these deals with a stick. Look for the handsome AdultSexToys.com banner in the sidebar of my site, DrDickSexAdvice.com, and pay them a visit. You'll soon be convinced, as I am, that they are some kind of wonderful. Okay, on with the show. Lance Navarro, holy cow, welcome, and thank you for dropping by DrDickSexAdvice.com. I am so delighted that we have this time to chat for the Sex Education podcast series. And now that you're here, would you like to say hello to all the nice people?
Hey there, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and checking us out.
Cool. And I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess that there's sure to be a load of big fat perverts out there in our audience, too. Would you like to say hello to them as well?
Well, of course. They deserve love, too. We love you all.
Besides, I include myself in that big fat pervert category, don't you know? So, I'm trying to think back to when I first discovered you and your online world, and I think it was through Twitter. I love following porn stars, and you all have such an exotic lifestyle. Is being an adult star as amazing as it appears to us mere mortals?
Well, you know, I guess I should say it is, and put some kind of, but, you know, I woke up an hour and a half ago and rolled out of bed and made breakfast and
just
sitting
like
around watching
folks.
Mythbusters,
oh,
and,
oh,
so,
God.
You know, it's... because I completely work entirely in the sex industry, I don't have a regular 40-hour job.
Right.
So I tend to actually have a lot of free time just laying around the house doing nothing. So
I love it. It's a job that I could get into.
Right.
So once I found you on Twitter, it was a snap to find you elsewhere on the net. And once I discovered LanceNavarro.com, I was hooked for sure. This is a relatively new site, right?
Yes. Yeah, I just launched it about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So let's begin our discussion by talking about you, the real you, and the porn star. And I want to read what you had to say about yourself on your site. You say, "This page is largely designed to be a fan page for my work as a porn star. However, I work as a certified massage therapist, stage actor, and model, and will be drawing on my experiences in all of these fields throughout the site. I would like for my blog to become an interactive experience. I have very solid feelings on many things, including what it takes to better our lives and the necessity to abandon the fear and insecurity that keeps us imprisoned to conformity. You will hear me talk a lot about fear versus love as it relates to what motivates our feelings and our behaviors, so just be prepared. It may seem repetitive, but I think it is the best and simplest way to analyze our motivations." That's pretty powerful stuff. You're a philosopher as well as a performer.
Thank you.
So, do you suppose that one part of your life infuses the other? Are you more thoughtful and reflective because of your performances? And are your performances more powerful because you are thoughtful and reflective?
Well, I've met enough people in the industry to know that they're all different, just as anybody else is.
Right, right.
And, I've met many who are very deeply, liberated of sorts, and that has sort of given them a very different perspective. They sort of have, because what they do is so, sort of on the outskirts,
right,
if you will,
right,
they've given themselves permission to think outside the box.
Yes.
Because what they do is so outside the box.
Yes.
And then I've met others who are just like anybody else,
yes,
with the same, with just, hearts and minds full of, just fear and insecurity and self-loathing and,
right,
really all types. I would definitely say that what I do now, which I've been working in porn in the sex industry for about 2 years now, and certainly since I started doing that, I've ultimately gotten to what I feel is a much better place in my life, a place where I can question things more, rather than, I don't have this crazy fast-paced life where I feel like I just have to just accept things and just accept,
right,
that I know things that just based on what I've seen or what I've heard. I now have sort of the time and the patience and the desire to question things and to better understand what my motivations have been in the past and what motivates me now.
It's curious because most people would think that, the porn industry is counterintuitive to any kind of personal revelation and acceptance of oneself and liberating oneself, but you say the contrary.
Well, I think it's certainly I like to talk to people openly when they ask me questions about working in porn and such. I don't think there's any harm in letting people know what the reality is,
good,
what it really,
yes,
is all about, what the process is like. The finished product looks something very cohesive, very ongoing. I have no problem telling people, it's a lot of stop and go. It's a lot of, it's a lot of performance. It really is. And it,
yeah,
doesn't kill, it's kind of like watching a behind the scenes of the making of an action movie, if you
right,
will,
right,
and you
right,
see how, you know, how orchestrated it is. And, you know, that still doesn't, still, you can still watch it and enjoy it. You know, I think the same thing with a porn, you can watch it and enjoy it, but I don't think there's any harm in letting people know that, you know, some, the degree to which we have to go in order to create a good product.
Right. And I want to examine that in length in a bit. But first of all, I would like you to give us a bit of a bio. Could you tell us some interesting little known facts about you?
Little known facts about me.
Besides
well,
the fact that
I
you watch Mythbusters early in the morning.
Right. I'm also a huge Family Guy fan.
Good. There you go.
Let's see. Well, I grew up in rural Virginia, deep in the mountains. I lived in Virginia all of my life until I moved to California 5 years ago. In high school, you know, I think there is one usually a consistent amongst guys who work in porn, and that's that most of them were completely undesirable in high school.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because there's ultimately some reason that we're seeking this level of affirmation
right.
in our life
right.
at this point.
Interesting. Interesting.
So I was the same case in high school. I was goth, actually. I mean, I had the vinyl pants and the chains and the fishnets and the works, the eyeliner, the lipstick, the nail polish, everything. Everything
wow.
was black. and it's part of what made me who I was.
Right.
I mean, I was longing for some type of attention, even if it was just that I was frightening people.
Right.
But that's, you know, it's largely the person that I am now as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think as good-hearted and as caring as I am, I certainly have a darkness about me, I think.
Well, who doesn't? I mean, what self-actualized
right, exactly.
person doesn't have the yin and the yang? I mean, it's just
exactly.
it's important. So
exactly.
I'm going to guess that Lance Navarro is your stage name. Did
of
you
course,
choose
yeah.
it, or was it chosen for you?
No, I chose it. I had a feeling that I was likely going to get, right before I got my first job with Raging Stallion, I just started brainstorming names, and I always liked the name Lance. I had a few friends named Lance. At the time, I was also training for my first AIDS Life Cycle ride.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Lance is obviously a pretty
right.
inspirational name as a cyclist. And then Navarro, you know, back in the day, there was this website called MySpace. And once upon a time, I was on this little website called MySpace, and they had a celebrity morph face thing where you would upload a picture of your face, and it would morph you into whatever celebrity it felt like you most resembled. And it linked me to Dave Navarro, and even though he's got, from Jane's Addiction, even though he's got the facial hair and the crate, I mean, you know, we do kind of somewhat similar face shapes, and that name just kind of stuck in my mind as well, Navarro. I really like that, so stuck the two together, and that's what happened. And of course, didn't even think about the fact that Navarro is a Latin name. And for the record, I have no Latin blood in me whatsoever.
That you know of, huh?
Oh, but yeah, I just like the name, so it's served me well. And there's not even people whose real name is Lance Navarro, so I don't have much Google competition.
I love it. So it's curious because when I was working with Daddy O Productions, I often had to create names for some of the people that performed for us, and I actually liked doing that. But I really preferred when they came with their own names because it was something, you know, that I wanted to talk to them about. I mean, how did you get your name, and why did you choose those names as opposed to, you know, another one? It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So how did you get your start in porn?
You know, for most people, and for myself included, it's like getting any other job. I went online and I applied for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, some guys get discovered, you know, at the gym or online or whatever. But, you know, I went about it the same way that most have to. And, you know, I went online, I looked at websites, I looked at companies that I felt, you know, were closest to sort of what my look was,
mm-hmm.
You know, that would appreciate that I'm, you know, I'm not this perfect body. I'm not like, you know, it's, they would just appreciate my, you know, more natural
right.
appeal.
Right.
And Raging Stallion just seemed like a great one. So I applied with them and followed up with them about a week later. And shortly thereafter was in there taking some stills and was offered a shoot the same day.
Wow.
So
that's,
yeah.
Cool. So your specialty appears to be fisting as a bottom. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's certainly what I've been cast as. And I'm quite skilled at it, but yes, it is what stands out,
so to speak. So this is a highly specialized niche genre. Can you give us some background? It's like there's only a few companies that are doing, you know, fisting movies. Is that not true, or I'm missing the
Here? Well, you know, I'm finding that more and more companies are extending their offerings
to
other I've done fisting at Raging Stallion. I've done fisting at Hot House,
yes,
as part of their Club Inferno.
Uh-huh.
Line, so that's how they kind of distinguish.
Right.
And I actually just booked a shoot with Titan.
Because I was going to ask if they had one, if they had a fisting line.
Yeah, they're Rough. It's called Rough.
Oh, I got it. Right. That's the one with Tony Buff, yes?
I believe so, yes.
Yes. Interesting. Was this part of your own sexual repertoire before you began to work in films?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of has to be. In fact, they ask you because they don't want anybody just saying, hey, yeah, I can, you know.
Oh, and by the way.
And just kind of crossing their fingers and we're intruding.
Right.
Yeah, I'm taking three fingers. I'm sure if I work on it for the next 2 weeks, I can.
Right.
No, they want to make sure that you're ready for it because,
right.
I mean, the last thing you want is a ruptured colon on set.
Right.
I had enough experience prior to it. You know, I just got started off with with toys and worked my way on up from there,
mm-hmm.
bigger toys. And, so when I arrived for shoot, I was, I knew what I was in for.
Right.
So
you mentioned that, the two major gay studios, Raging Stallion and Hot House, the ones that you've worked with, both have mm-hmm. fisting lines. I'd be interested to know how the two production houses differ in their approaches, and what might be the same about this unique sexual expression?
From my experience, it largely comes down to the director.
Oh.
And of course, Chris Ward over at Raging Stallion was a fisting bottom, a porn fisting bottom in his day.
Uh-huh.
So he certainly has a intense appreciation and passion for it, which also means that he always wants to try to push and see how far he can push it.
Right.
And especially with me, he only directs so many movies nowadays.
Yes.
But he'll usually be directing mine because he does enjoy seeing what he can get me to take on.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, in the last shoot we did for When a Man Needs a Fist, after getting fucked and fisted, I actually take a flesh jack up my ass.
Whoa.
Casing and all. And then my co-star Element Eclipse proceeds to fuck the flesh jack.
Holy cow.
So that was kind of, you know, I show up to set and we're talking through what we're planning on doing, and he pulls out a flesh jack and he says, "Do you think you could take this up your ass?"
Why?
And I say,
"I don't know, Mr. DeMille."
I'll try. And
amazing. Holy cow. So would you categorize yourself mainly as a fetish performer, and do you seek out the more extreme video projects?
You ask if I'm a fetish performer. Well, obviously, that's almost all the performances I've done has been in fetish.
Uh-huh.
It certainly is not my only interest, nor is it really even that big of a priority for me in my own life.
Interesting.
I mean, it's something I'm certainly capable of, and I have to, you know, maintain that.
Yes.
But, you know, I certainly, I mean, the reason why I tend to be cast in it is because, it's a rare talent and skill.
Yes, I'll say.
You know, so it's like if studios have fisting lines, they're not going to want to pass up the opportunity to put me in that position.
Right.
But no, I do. I mean, I do seek out. Because I am perfectly versatile, pretty powerful talented top as well.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, in the upcoming shoot that I'm going to be doing for Titan, it's going to be I will be getting fisted, but I'm also going to be a top as well.
How
in the same.
Right. So are you able to cross over to more mainstream projects, or is it like, you know, other movie projects where you kind of typecast as something, and, you know, if we see you as a fisting bottom in one movie, we're not going to see you as a leading man in another.
Yeah, right. You know, it's different studios have different opinions on those things. You know, everybody, I mean, it's certainly, you know, the porn industry always has to be focused on the psychology of the viewer, you know, and is a viewer going to have a problem with somebody they've always seen as a bottom becoming a top?
That's such a fascinating thing. That is so fascinating because, you know, very rarely do you think that the porn industry is actually interested in the audience.
Yeah, but no, it's you know, you'll notice that they tend to pair guys up who are similar in size because that just seems comfortable. You know, they know that on some level a lot of people love seeing a top becoming a bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they love seeing somebody in power sort of falling from power, if you will, and I don't see it that way whatsoever.
Yeah,
I mean, really, bottom is always in control. You know, there is a psychology that a lot of people think that the viewer enjoys seeing a top becoming a bottom, but not so much a bottom becoming a top. And, you know, I don't think there's really any consistencies in people's psychology and thoughts about, you know, sex and fetish and
I think
so forth.
That reflects much more the prejudices of the particular production houses as opposed to what the audience is capable of. In the same way that it, you know, the prejudices of the Hollywood studios, you know, are their own prejudices and not so much that of, you know, the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know, I try not to think too much about what it's gonna, you know, I try not to think too much about what it's gonna mean each shoot that I do. I mean, I'm actually gonna be doing a shoot for kink.com for their Tranny Seduction.
Mm-hmm.
In 2 weeks, where I'll actually be getting fucked by an M to F transgendered female, previously a male, so still has a dick, a big dick from what I understand.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And I'll be getting fucked by
How
her.
Fascinating. fascinating.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly, I mean, I consider myself a good, you know, 6.8 on the Kinsey scale.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's work, it's entertainment, you
yes.
know, new experience, you know, and the only thing that can happen is that I could grow whether I like it or not. I'm going to have fun with it, you know.
And that's what it's all about, is it not? I mean, as a performer, you want to expand your horizons. I mean, why would you want to be doing the same thing over and over again?
Exactly. No, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of interesting things, I also noticed that you're into urethral sounds. I'd love for you to tell us more about that. How did you discover this erotic pleasure?
I discovered the way most people discover fetish online. I was subscribing to a website that was all piercings, body manipulation, things like that.
Uh-huh.
And in the course of that, because I'd never seen it before, in the course of that I saw people with metal rods or any type of, you know, cylindrical foreign objects, you know, stuck in their pee hole, and was certainly intrigued. I mean,
it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Slightly put off because I was like,
yikes, me too.
I think fun. But, you know, as with most things, when I become intrigued, I need to at least figure out what it's about.
Uh-huh.
Whether I win, lose, or draw. I just want to understand what it's about. So
I
looked for anything I could around the house, and I think I started with like a plastic chopstick or something, and just started sounding with that and whatever else I could find. It was actually, I probably tinkered with sounding for a good 5 years before I ever actually even got my first set of actual sounds.
No kidding.
And then that sort of began my, once I actually had real sounds, I was able to see how big I could go. And
right.
I can get to usually about the biggest sounds in a standard set.
Wow.
So
that's fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, one of the most curious things I've ever encountered as a sexologist was a man I met in San Francisco who was able to insert the business end of a toothbrush with the bristles into his. And I, first of all, I thought, that's completely impossible. I mean, it's completely impossible. And then he showed me. And I went, I was fascinated to the point where I nearly passed out. I was just like weak in the knees for like days afterwards. It was just absolutely sad.
That's got me very intrigued now. I'm like,
that's
an interesting sensation.
Oy. Anyhow, so there you go. Now that I've... we'll be seeing later.
Right? I know. As long as I don't brush my teeth with the same brush afterwards.
Good thing. Oh, I love it. So you have several piercings, too, and some of these are pretty common variety, ears and nipples, for example, but some are more exotic. Can you tell us about your piercings?
I have the tongue, which I got when I was 17. I have my labrae, which I got a few years ago.
And where is that?
Ears.
Could you... tell us where those things are, because a lot of our...
I'm sorry. Labrae is the middle of the lower lip.
Okay, good.
Yeah, just a stud. Ears stretched to zero. Nipples pierced, but also I stretched them out to a 2-gauge, which is pretty big for nipple rings. I have a Prince Albert, but I don't wear it anymore, so that's the standard dick piercing through the head. Which has become pretty common.
Yes.
And I have 5 rings in my down the middle of my scrotum, which I used to actually have 11 there. I think in my first movie I actually still had 9 or 10 in at that time, and I've since just decided to downsize a little bit.
Because you jingle jangle jingle when you walk.
Yeah. And that's been something interesting too in the industry, is I've had a lot of even studios that are all about fetish and kink I always let all studios know that I can take them out if they need me
right,
to.
Right.
Because sometimes from one shoot to another, they might just want a more clean, wholesome image.
Right.
So I can take these out, and I instantly look like the boy next door.
That's fascinating. Are you into needle play, either recreationally or in the movies?
I never have before. I mean, I don't mind needles whatsoever. I mean, I don't mind piercings. I have plenty of tattoos, but I've never really tinkered in needle play at all.
Interesting.
Yeah. It honestly kind of freaks me out. I actually went to I attended this gathering of people who are into suspension.
Uh-huh.
They're talking hook suspensions, like
right.
hooks through their and
yes,
lift it up
yes,
in the
yes,
air.
Yes.
You know, and I was really, I mean, I felt such admiration for these people. I mean, most people would feel, disgust and, whatever. I thought it was incredible that they could endure such intense pain, and for the sake of the euphoria that ultimately that level of the endorphins and everything else creates. And I really wanted to muster up the nerve to do it myself, because I thought it could be an incredible experience, but I just did not have the nerve.
So I want to talk some about that too a little later on in the show, so hold your thoughts on that. I want to ask, do you actually like your work as much as you appear to? Sometimes you have this ecstatic look on your face.
The majority of the time, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
I, again, in being honest, there are certain times where You know, especially because, you know, shoots tend to run for several hours. So, you know, being fisted for, you know, for an extended period of time, even though you're not usually getting fisted for several hours, but still for, you know, a period. So, I mean, there certainly comes moments where, I'm giving it, you know, all I got,
right.
You know, until I just absolutely cannot take any more.
Right.
You know, so I'd say the majority of the time, the look on my face is very real. Mm. You know, it's reflecting what I am definitely feeling, mm-hmm. the majority.
Right.
Yeah. So, otherwise, and what you can't tell is just where I'm a really damn good actor.
So I'm going to guess that shooting a fisting scene or a fetish scene is different than your run-of-the-mill sex scene. Is this true? And have you done both, and do you have a preference?
Well, there certainly ends up being a lot more lube on the floor during a fisting scene. There's always the risk of slipping and sliding.
Yes,
the
there you go.
The floor is covered in J-Lube and Crisco. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's certainly preparation and precautions that have to be taken. It's certainly much more important that the top be extremely intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Don't necessarily have to be incredibly skilled in fisting, because mm-hmm. just because somebody's done a lot of fisting doesn't necessarily mean they're good at it. In
yes.
fact, it could
oh,
be
yes.
if they never were properly trained or taught, they could be horrible at it.
Yes.
You know, so the really important thing in any type of fisting or fetish scene is that both people, you know, be really connected to one another, mm-hmm. so that you know how to take somebody to a limit, maybe even take them a little past that, but know when to back off. I mean, you know, the bottom's always the one in control. The bottom can always say, okay, stop.
Right.
And the scene stops.
Right.
But ultimately, you know, it's, you know, when it's what's most intimate and most, and you know, the intuition's there, you don't have to say stop. They know when it's,
right.
You know, when they're giving you too much.
Yeah. So is that intimate connection between the two people that is essential? I mean, I used to, go out of my way to make that happen in, you know, the rather vanilla films that, you know, I produced at Daddy O Productions, and but I often see that, you know, pairings in other porn that I've watched, you know, there's no chemistry at all, and but I suspect that, you know, for fisting and other fetish projects, that essential chemistry is, you know, more necessary than ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's nice when it's there, and I try to, and that's why it's I love getting comfortable in working with a studio that they know who I am,
yes.
and they know the nature of their other actors, right. and they know that what's going to work well for me is being with somebody that has that intuition.
Right.
I, you know, as much as it'd be great if they were, you know, just hotter than hell, you know, my priority is much more that a certain type of person. You know, so I've worked with a few people that the chemistry was not there, either just, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They weren't, and it wasn't even so much who they were as a person, it was just their presence, whether
right.
they just were not present with me in that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you do the best you can. I mean, ultimately you're there to do a job, and it's nice when it can be really sensual and intimate. But for the most part, the very nature of the shooting makes it a little more difficult.
That's
because
so true.
The stop and go, and you're constantly having to be aware of how you look on camera. So you create the intimacy and the sensuality where you can.
Right.
You know,
and
yeah.
that, you know, that is incredible wisdom, because there's a lot of people out there who think that, you know, porn is a cakewalk. And I used to see that a lot. And again, at Daddy-O, you know, people would apply for work with us and say, you know, oh, you don't have to ever worry about me. You know, I got a 24-hour, you know, hard on, and, you know, I can come at, you know, whenever I want. And, you know, those were the people that I always had the most difficult time with, because they
mm-hmm.
imagined, you know, that it was, you know, sex on camera was the same kind of thing as, you know, sex in your bedroom, you know,
oh,
with
yeah,
your boyfriend.
Yes.
And it is simply not that at all.
Completely not. Yeah. And it's, you know, in different manners of shooting allow certain things. Like
right.
I'm excited. The shoot I'll be doing with Titan is they don't really do. They try not to cut away much.
Right.
They try to make just long, consistent shots.
Yes.
and just do what the cameraman does, what they can to capture the best thing. So those kind of shoots are always kind of nice, along with like when I do web shows, because you know that you're going to be able to just continue doing what you're doing,
right.
And it allows you to get into it a little bit more.
Right.
But yeah, overall, there's nothing about it that's easy. I mean, at the end of the day, you're exhausted. I mean, it's like you just want to go home and just lay in bed.
And with that, sir, I must tell you that our time for today is up. Can I invite you back for next week? Because I have so many more questions that I need to ask you.
Absolutely, I would love to.
Oh, yay. But before you conclude today, would you give us your website address and walk us around a little bit and let us know what we can find there?
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is quite simply, it's lancenavarro.com, www.lancenavarro.com. You can also just search Lance Navarro on Google, and I think it's the second thing that comes up. I update my videography on there, so you can keep track of all the videos I've done. I try to post clips when I can find them on there. So there's actually one on there right now, the shoot I just did with Josh West, which was just an absolute pleasure. One of the sweetest guys I've ever met in the industry, and hottest. I've got my own personal photography that I've taken, as well as my professional photography and photo shoots. But I also want it to be, I recently added a guest book on there, and I would love for people to come on and just leave their feedback and remarks about the site. And I'm also a big fan of quotes and inspiration. So, please feel free to log on and just share, with other visitors, just any kind of words of inspiration or thoughts or feelings, so that it can kind of become a community place for everyone.
Outstanding. So we will be visiting you in cyberspace in the interim. So until next
week,
see you soon. Bye.
All right. Thank you.
What a great show, huh? Well, tune in next week for part two of my interview with Lance Navarro and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is AdultSexToys.com. Shopping for sex toys is very personal, and not everyone's taste is the same. That's why AdultSexToys.com carries over 8,000 different adult products, and new items are being added all the time. Not sure what to buy? Check out their bestsellers page, their recommendations section, which can also be found at the top of many of their sex toy categories, or simply use the advanced search function to help you find the ideal sex toy for you or your partner. AdultSexToys.com believes that the world of adult products is best explored in a safe, private, and secure setting, like your own home. What better way to find precisely what you're looking for? And hey, they offer discreet shipping and billing too. Don't miss their hot sale items, where you can score the most popular toys for up to half off. And remember, you never pay sales tax at AdultSexToys.com. Look for their handsome banner in the sidebar of my site, DrDickSexAdvice.com, and pay them a visit. Tell them that Dr. Dick sent you. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.